Blog Talk Radio.
Because of reliance shall break every chain.
Brother Water, Brother Zero's twin, one of the twins on with the last four digits, 9665. I don't see
yes,
the other
that is correct. It should be another twin on. We're both
on the same line.
Oh, okay, okay then. All right.
Oh, you
both have made it easy.
All right, that'll work.
All right. Brother Drew, I've been tingling with this for some months and Sundays, and then I got with the twins, and I say that since we can't get no preacher to dialogue us, we just gonna answer some questions. In my years of study, I was against what was wrote in the Bible till I met Cohen. And Cohen said, there's a story in there, Dwight. We got to understand the story that's in there. And if the Bible is what the people believe in, the majority of the people that look like us believe in the Bible, you got to teach them through the Bible. And during the course of Cohen and I, of of studying together in Mahab, we found out one thing, that a black preacher and a white preacher cannot read. Now, there's a story that's in the Bible, and we're going to tell that story, and I'm going to start that story off with, the story starts with the history of the Northern Hemisphere, wrote by the chosen children of God, about the children of God. In today's society, they are called Zionist Jews. There's five different kinds of Jews. We're talking about one Jew that controls the world as we speak right now. They're the chosen people of God. These are Ashkenazi's children. The children of God that's in this story is Russia, Germany, Great Britain, and America. These three countries in today's society, we're going to bring it from the ancient up to the present. When we go to the 10th chapter of Genesis, we'll see the sons of Japheth is Gomer, Magog, Madman, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tiras. And Gomer had a son named Ashkenazi. That's who you call the Jews today. It's a key in now that the Zionist Jews put, and I think the Zionist Jews, by these are the eyes of the Gentile divided in their lands, everyone with his tongue after their families in their nations, meaning that this would be four different separate nations, Russia, Germany, Great Britain, and America, that had different languages, but they were cousins. And all of them are cousins, Ashkenazi, who is wrote the history of their cousin. Now, they call, in this book, the Bible, you won't see Russia and Germany and America, but you will see Magog, Gog, and Tubal. This is how in the ancient it would read in the Bible about the Gentiles, which was known as the Gentile, which is the Scandinavian, the history of what they call now Scandinavian history of the Celts, the Vikings, and the tribes that was Anglo-Saxons and the Saxons. And we know that May the 1st, 1776, that the people over here changed their name from Anglo-Saxon to Americans, so they came from Great Britain, which is Magog and Gog. The land, that's where their children inhabit the land there. This is what the Bible tell you. Now, it's a funny thing, and I don't care what religious book that you get. You can get the Bible, the Torah, the Tanakh, the Quran, the Vinajita. Out of all the major religions, they will tell you that the most evil person, they call him the devil, they call him all kinds of, in their language, different things, was these people from the tribes of Magog and Gog, which would be these four countries as we speak. It is said that they would be warlords. So as we speak, we see that this Bible didn't lie about that, that they would be warlords, because they warn as we speak. In the Bible, the most key thing that I read in the Bible that let me know that ain't no black Christian can read, preacher, is Proverbs 3, verse 31, where it says, even not your oppressor choose none of his ways. Our oppressor is Magog and Gog, which is called the American as we speak. We was warned not to go in his ways. I'm going to fast forward up until 1870. Somebody that looked like us, twin, could not be a Christian until 1870. We was given this religion by our oppressors. Now, in the Bible, they have a character, and let me tell you about this Bible, a little bit of history about this Bible before we go get off into it deep. This Bible is the 1881 revised version of the 1611 Bible. This Bible was called the Forbidden Bible for 300 years. The reason it was called the Forbidden Bible, that this Bible was translated out of the 1523 William Shakespeare Tyndale Bible that he was killed by the Pope without a trial, wrote in the language of the serpent people of the ancient Opadite cult of Magog, Gog, and Tubal. Read from left to right with cursive letters of the ancient ruin alphabets, which the ruins alphabets is the Celtic, the Scandinavian people alphabets. Colored people, who's human beings, is two types of beings, humans and subhumans. The human being wrote with calligraphy from right to left. That's how we know that this writing that we got, this language that we speak, is called a forbidden language, the cursed language of that of our oppressor. And we are in his ways deep to the max. That's where we had to understand that everything that we believe in came from him. So we had to first understand what did he believe in and what did he give us. So we can see that when their cousin, the Zionists, wrote this book, they wrote in this book that it would come a time in the history of us after 400 years, and it's been 460 years now, starting with from 1555 to now, that somebody would rise up and be able, from the information that they had put in the protocol and that had been studied to show themselves approved, that you would know the mysteries of God. They give you a formula of how to study. They say study according to the tongue, meaning that etymology was the key to the study. And when you ask, you see that this boy, Magog and Gog, every time he conquered you, he changed names and what all the name changes that he has did. Now, in this Bible, it tells you that Magog would conquer the whole world with one word, and that word was God. Now, when we go back and research this word God, which we did, we found out that this was a 6th century word that the Pope agreed that this is the word that his nation, that nation of people, was going to use to the Guden. Then when we looked, the word Guden had been translated out of the word Wooten in the 3rd century. In the 1st century, his name was Odin. And Odin was the god of this tribe of people from the beginning. And the alphabets was the ruins. This was their knowledge from the beginning. So when you say, I believe in God, and in 2023, we can see where the whole goddamn world believes that there's a God, then it's no such thing as a God. Now, you can see that nobody knows anything about God until the 6th century. So all of this information that we got that God done did is a damn lie. There's 2,200 errors in translation in the 1881 Bible. When we look in the Bible, it gives us all kinds of clues. In the book of Jeremiah, it tells you, 18th chapter of Jeremiah tells you, why do you say that there is gods and there is no gods? Then we go into the book of Isaiah, and we can see where the book of Isaiah would teach us that we had to look, at two words. We noticed that there was a difference between the word Lord and God, but we had to go and see what they had translated the word Lord out of, and that word before it was Lord was Y-A-H, and then you had the word God. See, the word God, there are many gods now. There are 330,000 different gods as we speak right now. Now, in the book of Isaiah, it clearly tells you, starting with the 42nd chapter, you can go read about it, that the Lord was here before any God was formed. This is a clue for you. This is a clue that I was reading. It said nobody could be your savior. So you have 13 savior gods. When you go back and trace history, this is all the information that the Zionists left us to study, that we studied it because we followed this pattern that they had gave us to follow when we was doing this. And this is the reason we're going to ask questions to the preacher because the story is all in the book. Now, the Lord was here before any of this teaching. So when we went back into the Bible, we got to go find out what the white folks give us in 1870. 1870, they said that we could be two religions according to their doctrine. You could be either African Methodist Episcopal or colored Methodist Episcopal. You couldn't be Christian Methodist Episcopal. Couldn't be First Baptist, you had to be Second Baptist, and you had to be separated up under their teaching. This is how it reads in the Constitution as we speak. This is how, when they gave us Christianity, they got many books on how to make a Negro a Christian, many, many books in 2013. Like it says, the mystery of God would be out here. Now, when we go went into the Bible, we noticed that there was the teaching of Jesus. When we break down the Bible, you break it down into three parts. The Old Testament, which is the Torah and Tanakh, is the history of two tribes of people, Judah and Israel, in this language, Yehuda and Yasharal, in their language. Then in the middle of the Bible, you have 31,433 words wrote in red that Jesus the Nazarene spoke. Then in the book of Acts, you see where there was another Jesus called Bar-Jesus. And then 62 years after the death of Jesus the Nazarene, Paul, which that's not his real name, but that's his name in this language, we're speaking in this language, Paul wrote about a God named not Jesus the Nazarene, but Jesus the Christ. Put the title Christ on there. Now, when we go back in the gospel and see what Jesus the Nazarene said versus what Paul said that Jesus Christ said, and you up under that teaching, which if you ask the good white folks that's in America, ask them, what is the America's national God? They would tell you Paulinian Christian up under the Apostolic Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Tertullian Creed. This is the Western religion, and it's angelic gospel Christian epistle teaching that America is the national teaching of this religion that they gave us in 1870, 142 years ago. Always remember that she was given this, and this is what we're studying about. This Jesus the Nazarene, let's look at what he said. In the 10th chapter, y'all can write this down, the 10th chapter, the 5th verse through the 8th. Jesus the Nazarene, the disciples asked Jesus the Nazarene who to preach to. He answered, these 12 sent forth and commanded them, go not into the ways of the Gentile. And that's a comma right there. See, this is how you know the black preacher cannot read. Reading is comprehension. Not calling words, as my big mama said, is right there. Do not go in the ways of a Gentile. Now, you ask any black person right now, that's a Christian, what is he going to tell you? He a black Gentile. How he become a black Gentile?
I answer that.
Go ahead on.
Can you hear me? Yeah. Well, I want to add to that, because they have actually tricked us into a lot of word usage, whereas it would put us in a disadvantage. We use the word very loosely when we say ladies and gentlemen, which means Gentile men. In actual fact, that they make us even admit to being just like them. I picked that up when they was doing some research on the president, and they was presenting the ladies in the court system, and they would present them lady gentlemen. You follow what I'm saying? And I'm like, well, why are they calling them Gentile ladies? That's what they was calling them, Gentile ladies. So when I saw that, I was like, okay, so this is the trickology that has, you know, been put on the people of the land, which is us. And I just want to add to that, when we go to the restroom, the gentleman's room and the ladies' room, you know. So I want to add to that.
Yeah, well, brother Twin, we can clearly see the word Gentile, that means all white people. That means we're talking about the subhuman being. See, the Zionists told you clearly in the 6th chapter of Genesis how they became subhuman beings, how they became the children of God, and how they became how he became, Ashkenazi became the chosen people of God, and how he became the children of God. He even, in the Bible, goes all the way back to the Anunnaki. They disguise it up under a word called Shemanah. It goes all the way back to this. This book starts in ancient Mesopotamia with the Summa religion. They tell you that with Doris and all of that. You had to go all the way back. They laid out a roadmap for us to study, but they know it would take a certain period of time before we could talk about it like we're talking about it now. But they also knew only it would be a small amount of people understanding what we're saying because they've been totally gentrified to believe that there is a God. And
right.
And no other black preachers want to go into a study or dialogue on this. So everybody believe in this word God. This word didn't appear into nobody's language until the 6th century. So you believe in something that doesn't even exist. Looked like
you.
You see what I'm
what's
talking about?
What's appalling to me, Meatball?
Yes, sir.
What's appalling to me? Yeah, what's appalling to me is it seems that most people believe the word God is more has more authority than any word in the world.
Right.
You follow me? See, they don't know that. So we have been programmed to believe that is the do all, the know all. You know what I'm saying? But if the people would revert back to even the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer starts off with our Father. And the word Father is masculine and feminine.
Right.
If you would break the word down in half, Father would be the male or the masculine, and fat her would be the feminine. So that's the mother and the father. You follow what I'm saying? Or the fat her.
The father and the
fat her, which is a pregnant woman. Yeah. So that's I mean, you just think, little inserts and things like that. That's, I think, would be most important in this type of discussion is to not just dissect the Bible, but dissect what has been put into the minds of the people.
That's what
as
we're doing
to
right
why
now.
They... So go ahead. I was just inserting that.
Yeah. See, this you have to do that. So another question that we can ask is, what was the original name of the people that followed Jesus the Nazarene? What did he say his teaching was? He said his teaching was called the Way of Abraham. Now, the ways of Abraham is not what Jesus the Christ teach. You can see where they went astray right there, because the ways of Abraham, everything that Abraham taught that was wrong, the teaching of Jesus Christ up under the Nicolaitan doctrine that the Bible said, which would be three different doctrines, that you didn't have to live by the ways of Abraham, what Jesus the Nazarene taught, but you could live by the ways of what Jesus the Christ. Now, the Jews left us a little message when we got to that in Timothy, in the book of 2 Timothy, it reads, you have to catch all of these things, Brother Twin, that me and Cole talked. The 2 Timothy, in the 2 Timothy, it reads that Paul said Second Timothy 2:8-9, it said, Paul said, remember, I have raised Jesus the Christ out of the grave according to my teaching. So he let you know right there that Jesus Christ, the teaching, is not the same as Jesus the Nazarene. Then we can go back in the book and ask, who was Paul? Paul was a Pharisee. Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, cussed the Pharisees. I mean, this is some black preachers, they couldn't read, so they couldn't ask these questions. But we can ask these questions now, just like at Revelation, you will ask the Christian, did Jesus hate anything? If you go to Revelation 2, verse 14 through 15, it'll tell you that he hated a certain doctrine and a teaching. He hated the teaching of the Nicolaitans, the teaching of the seven churches. That teaching is called angelic gospel Christian epistle teaching of the Western churches. That's why the East and Western churches broke, to go up on the Paulinian teaching. So everything that was given to us is up on the Paulinian teaching, which is incorrect teaching, especially with the dietary law. That's the reason you see our people in the shape that they're in now, is because they were eating the pork from the rooter to the shooter. That's why you got high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and all the diseases that you got, arthritis, rheumatism, you're taking 100 pills a day to live. It's because we have broke these laws. Since we done broke these laws, our children has got to be quit lied to, that there's a Santa Claus, that there's a this, there's a that, and there's everything that a white man teaches got to be struck out of the black child's mind as we speak right now. That's the key, because these old niggas ain't gonna change. The Bible tell you that. Mm-hmm. They ain't gonna change. So the Bible is, like I said, it's a story in this book, and the story in this book is looking at us right now. If you know the damn book, it ain't a damn thing holy about it. It's about unholy people.
Meatball.
Yes, sir.
Meatball, you know, it is very appalling to me, and I think it's something that people don't really think about. A liar is one that tells a lie, that has to tell another lie, that tells another lie to cover up that lie.
Right.
Well, what's appalling to me is there's a group of people that make up lies for lies on top of lies. They make them up. Just like you were saying, if they want our children to believe in one thing, they put on top of that or in front of that something else, which would be like Santa Claus, and then something in front of that, the Easter Bunny. It's almost like they sleep, they breathe,
they create all of these lies.
Yes. My thing is, if you had a clean way of life, and one of your so-called friends want to just make other people see you as a dirty person, they always playing and making up ways to keep you dirty in front of other people. This is our society. This is the Western Hemisphere. That's what you speak of. When the invasion came, the colonial invasion, they came to dirty up everything. You follow me? And they kill, steal, and destroy it for that reason. So I was just saying, when you was talking about Santa Claus,
that I was just using that as an example of how the Western, how we've been westernized.
Yeah, you can see
not
that
westernized.
Now.
That's what has got to happen. How you seeing now? The masses of us got to see that away, but it's hard getting the masses of us to see this way, because our worst problem is we did not study who this white man was. Who is Jabez too? Who is Magog and Gog and Tubal in the Bible, that all over the Bible tell you that everything about them is evil? Don't go in their ways. Don't believe nothing that they say. They're going to conquer you. But when you come out of slavery, the book tell you, do not go in their ways. Well, 2023, we can see whose ways we in, all the way up to, if we know their history like I know their history, versus 1950 and 1960 when I was a young man versus what I'm living in right now, the sodomite, homosexuality is off the chain as we speak. And it's in the gene pool. Meaning, see, when it get in the gene pool, that means that the baby is being born a homosexual. You don't have to make him. You don't have to make him no more because, see, you don't know how the body works. But once you learn how the body works, all these studies that Cole and I done did, all these lectures we done did over a period of 50 years, it's in the gene pool. It'll tell you in the Bible. It'll get into the gene pool that history repeat itself. It gives you seven histories, starting with Babylon, Syria, Assyria, Persia, Greek, Rome, America. Those are seven great empires up under the sign of the eagle, it said. And red, white, and blue would be their colors. Within every Germanic race of people as we speak, what is British color? What is Germany? They up under the eagle with red, white, and blue. What the eagles have gathered. That's what the Zionists say. You'll see this. All of this is in your Bible. Every bit of it is in there. And see, this is what we need to do, what I want to do on the lecture. We practicing now of what we're going to do.
Exactly.
So I'm giving you, see, these are things that we need to ask ourselves. And like my big mama used to tell me, we failed with your mama and daddy, but we didn't fail with you, but teaching you the Bible. I hated the Bible. I didn't know what big mama and them was teaching me. They made me read to them from 3 years old till I graduated from school. Every night I had to read the Bible to big mama and them for a whole damn hour after I get through with football practice. Whichever one of them grandmother's house I was staying in, I had to read the Bible to her. We had been doing that shit. That was a ritual since four. We finished the whole Bible. I read so many chapters that at the end of the year, we would finish the whole Bible in its entire. I did that for 18 damn years. Damn that, with them two old grandmothers. And she would always tell me, she said, before you do any of your karma nonsense, ask the book, is it all right? Because some things that you do, is not all right. For you to get a lie started, like this lie of Christianity got started, you have to have truth and a lie in it. I'm glad you brought that out a while ago. You can't have, a lie will not work without a little bit of truth in it. So you had to understand, the way we're breaking it down now, you can see the truth with Jesus the Nazarene, and then you can see the lie with Jesus the Christ. Now, Jesus the Nazarene, now, I don't know when the preachers read this, I don't understand why they couldn't understand. the Sermon on Mount Olives. Supposed to have been one of the most critical sermons that Jesus the Nazarene taught. He told you in that clearly, he said, anybody call me Christ, believe them not. That's at the 27th chapter of Matthew's and 25th Sermon on Mount Olives. It's in there three times. He said, anybody cries, believe him not. Then he turned around and laid some heavy shit on him. He said, if you call me Christ, it will bring about, he said, nay, you say I come in peace, but if you call me Christ, he said, it would bring about division between the mother, the father, the sister, the brother, the auntie, the uncle. What you got?
I think what he was basically saying. Yeah. Me, Bob,
yeah,
I think what he was basically saying was, if you call me Christ, then you bring up the cross. And when you bring up cross, that means that other people can cross up each other out on certain ideologies.
Now we go back to that cross, because the cross got a history. How did we ask ourselves a question in 5 W's, 1 H, chronological order, ethnology, that's how we study. So we're going to ask ourselves a question. When did the cross come into Christianity? Now, when we answer that, we'll say this cross came into Christianity with Constantine. What did What did Constantine put on this cross? He put in hoc sigma with K. In Latin, transferred to this language is, with this cross we will conquer. You could not, and if you wasn't white, you could not, Jesus could not be your God. Christianity could not be your religion if you look like me and you. The only way you...
Right.
When Christianity, they let you in 1870 become a Christian. But before 1870, you could not be a Christian if you was not white.
Right.
You couldn't
At that time, did they separate us from them as calling us heathens?
Right. And see,
let me hand you something about the cross too. Okay. The cross, they cross came through the Crusaders, the Red Cross come across the waters. And also, if you can imagine a cross, when a cross is in the ground, it looks like a cross. And that's when they come as missionaries. And if you don't accept the cross, they pull it out of the ground. It turns into a sword, and they become masonaries.
Right.
You follow me? So you're going to accept one way or another. Either you're going to be down or you're going to lay down, one of the two.
Five symbols and numbers. This cross just ain't come into the history with the Romans. It was here before the Romans got here. The cross was the history of the cross. When you study ancient science of Hermetic geometrical science, you'll study about the cross and all the signs and symbols. You will learn about them. I mean, if you go into that study, and
right. Yeah.
Here's another thing that the Christian preacher, when he read, but he ain't never read this, they ain't never read what the Bible really said. Because I've asked several preachers, have you read the Bible in its entirety? And they'll say no. So how you know what's in there? And see, in there, you got another teaching in there. It says that Paul believed in the mystery teaching. Well, you you got a whole book on what was the mystery religion. These mystery was religion was secret societies that we call Masons now. But back then they was known as secret societies that was cults. There were certain cults that they belonged to. And this man, Jesus the Nazarene, pointed out to you not to go in the ways that you in right now. I mean, he got many scriptures telling you where you've been deceived. And you as a Christian, you go into Bible study every Wednesday night and you don't understand what you're studying.
with that, Meatball, listen, I got a question.
Yeah.
If I was someone that know nothing about religion, know nothing about somebody else's ideology, and I came to you and I say, hey, someone mentioned to me about this book called the Bible. I want to ask you, if I was to read this Bible, what state of mind should I be in? I'm going to give you an example. Okay. So one state of mind that I should be in is I want somebody to give me instructions on how I should navigate myself in this city. Another way that I can look at it is I want to know what is the breakdown of the teachings if it's not religion. Is the breakdown about the body as above, so below, as within, so without, the Pandora's box of life inside of life, inside of another life. Those two different ways that I may be able to look at it. So my question to you is, if you was to grasp a three-year-old and start teaching that biblical text, how would you approach it?
How would I approach him?
How would you approach?
Oh, that's
when you start implementing. Okay.
The first thing that Cole and I teach with the Bible to our grandchildren, which was in that age bracket, 3 years old when they started studying with us, is that this is a history book wrote by the Zionist Jews about their people. This is not our history. This is the history of the people that has conquered the whole world as we speak. And you have to look at it as a history book and not a religious book. I mean, just like you don't even own one. you don't even have one. You see,
right.
When you pick this book up, it ain't nothing holy about this book. It's about unholy people. It's about this book, the 1881, it's about two tribes that had, each one of them had two different kingdoms, and each one of them had kings in that kingdom, and their struggles was with the people going away in the people that they had mixed their seed with, that had conquered them and they had mixed their seed with and started worshiping their gods, their our gods. They tell you, it's many our gods. They tell you about Moloch, Dagon, all of this in the Bible, how they started. Now, the other question that you ask is that when I think we started coordinating them around about 7 to 8 years old, teaching them hermetic geometrical signs, which would deal with signs and symbol. Because if you know how to read the Bible, then you can break it all the way back down. And the people that wrote it was some hell of a people because they, the Zionists, they broke it down also up under signs, symbols, and numbers, which would deal with the cosmos. That's when I told you that in this Bible, it goes all the way back into the history of the Anunnaki. You go into the book of Job, it teaches you about the heaven, but you have to go into Greek knowledge and Greek philosophy and Roman philosophy and see what they thought about that at that period in time to understand the teaching. You see what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
The study that we did, it took me many years and many books. And most of the books that I'm coming out of, I done read them all over 50 times, like the book I'm looking at right now. I done read these books over 50 times. That's close to 1,200-some books. I can pick that book up, and I know everything in there. I got it's photostatic memory on me. I don't know how I got it, but I got it.
You mentioned something a while ago. Can you hear me, Paul? You mentioned something a while ago. You say there was two different, let's say, kingdoms that had two different tribes or people, right?
You say there was two different, Jesus had two different teachers?
Yeah, what I'm trying to get at is this. The word Bible itself, we got a couple more minutes, and I like to play this game with people sometimes. So what I'm gonna ask you is a question, and then I'm gonna lead you into how I want you to answer it. Okay, so that the listening audience can kind of understand where I'm coming from. So if you had a cycle with one wheel, they call it a what? A unicycle.
Oh, yeah, unicycle.
Right?
Right.
Well, if you had a cycle with two wheels, they call it a what?
I guess a dual cycle.
It could be a bicycle, right?
Got two wheels. Tricycle got three wheels.
Yes. So I'm going to ask you this question. Instead of saying two, use the word by when I ask you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had two bulls, you can call them what?
Two.
Use the word by. Huh?
I'm not hearing you too good now.
Okay. When you have a cycle with two wheels, you call it a bicycle, correct?
Right. Yeah.
So bi and two is the same, can be interchanged, correct?
Right. Right.
So I want you to use the word bi instead of two when I ask you this question. If you had two bulls, you can call them what?
Two bulls,
you can call them what? By bulls.
Right.
Bible.
Right.
So this is where the word Bible come from. Bible. Now, isn't it ironic that the Bible is wrote in a pair of bulls, or parables?
Right.
Okay. So, in all essence, if we think about the parables, the two bulls, you understand, one can pull one direction, one pulling the other direction. I look at it as being pulled in the direction of evil, either good or evil.
Right. Right.
So the Bible, yeah. Go ahead.
You can understand that. You can understand that because it's broke down into an Old Testament, which you said the Old Testament say you couldn't change no words, of nothing. You couldn't make nothing new. And the New Testament said they made something new. And that word Bible, what is the etymology of that word Bible? I thought you were going to break that. What is that? It ain't nothing but a book. That's exactly. What a Bible. It comes out the Old English as book. And the way it's divided. You can easily see that the Christian church, people call themselves Christians, they got the wrong teaching, especially look like us now. If they white Christians, they got the right teaching. But if they black Christians and look like me and you, you have the wrong teaching. That ain't your God. So you got to go find out what you believe in. You didn't believe in God. You only started believing God when you got conquered. You didn't call your rulers kings and queens. But that's all you're doing now is calling yourself, I'm a king, I'm a queen, I'm a black African-American.
Wow.
When you say I'm a black African-American, what are you saying about yourself? That ain't
right.
Who you are.
You went into the way. You know,
in other words,
when you speak, when you talk. Yeah, when you're talking, things come to my mind because you're so sharp with what you do. Now, do you remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah?
Right. We live in
okay,
it.
So we're heading back into that biblical story of sodomy.
We're so deep into not just one place, but the whole world being Sodom and Gomorrah. We're so deep into it that the government is making it legal. Where it used to be illegal that they would kill you for being gay, hell, they got a president that's gay, and that was Switzerland and Sweden.
Okay,
all
now check this out. Now watch this. At the end of Sodom, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, or however you'd pronounce it, Gomorrah, people had to leave the whole city. But the reason why they had to leave the city is because things had gotten out of hand, because these people in that city were believing that they were something that they were not.
Well, look.
The same way in our society right now. We got the RBG.
Now, Twin, we can look at the people that don't know that they are male and a female versus when we was 20. When we was 20 years old, we ain't know damn now nothing about a sissy and a lesbian. But in 2023, you ask the majority of the people that look like me and you is gay, bisexual, transgender. They believe in this knowledge. Look at the teaching.
Exactly.
Every 10 years, you can see it's getting worse and worse. The end of this 10 years, it'll be worse. Babies will be switching. You'll see homosexuality at its highest peak in the next 7 years. You already see it. You already see killing of the firstborn child. Look at the killing of children right now. Just look at it. Look at the time. See, history repeats itself. Ain't nothing new under the damn sun. History repeats itself. We are repeating itself right now in a high form of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah. Let me tell you the ladies that I've heard about that. You know when we were going to school, our principal was Mr. Gillespie. Our teachers was Miss Palmer or Miss Wright. Don't you know the new trend that's about to happen? They're about to change the prefix to mix, M-I-X, Gillespie, Mix Palmer. You hear what I'm saying?
That's the same way with this thing of birth over a reef. In 1960, When Aretha Franklin put out A Natural Woman, there was natural women and natural men that call themselves soul sisters and soul brothers. In 2023,
yeah,
ain't no natural man and ain't no natural woman, because they don't know if they're a sissy, a bisexual, transgender. They don't know what the fuck they are, born after 1970. And so now you say Riri's record is a damn insult to your funky ass.
Meanwhile, so look like we at the top of the hour.
Okay, well, I just wanted to practice on these things of questions that we can ask ourselves that's in this book. I got 60 questions that I could ask you. I just asked you a few of them to really enlighten you on what you got. You say I'm a Christian. You're a hypocrite. Of course. See, the sixth chapter of Matthew, Jesus of Nazarene said anybody praying a prayer circle out in the streets and shit was a goddamn hypocrite. He said pray in a dog closet. You goddamn Christians don't do that. So every time
you tell me
you're a Christian, I already know you're a hypocrite, because you don't do nothing what your Bible said, you and your preacher. And you was given to this by a white preacher that didn't understand what he goddamn gave you. So next week I say, Shema Yahweh Abba, Yah, Aben Yah, Ika, Kamaida Yah. Hey, twin.
Yeah.